Do you like riddles? I've got one for you. What's red and gray and full of bullshit? Give up. It's this podcast.
I think we might have to find someone else to do our podcast intros. Anyone looking for a job opening? Hope you all had a good week since the last time we checked in. Things around here have been relatively quiet. Just a couple of shoplifters and chinchilla rustlers to tend to. Yeah, I said chinchillas. We rescued a whole bunch of them from a farm near here where they was acting as a cover for an opium operation. The authorities couldn't come pick them up for a week, so we had to keep them here in the HQ. They said we could keep one or two of them, but CB says that they made his allergies act up. I heard they didn't have no dander, so I think he's just prejudiced against critters what got fur as soft as freshly fallen snow on a marshmallow cloud full of angel breath.
A lot of them bit me.
Lies. Anyway, other than that, things have been slow. I reckon they'll pick up again before the winter frost sets in. In the meantime, we got us another show to do, so let's get to it. This week on the podcast, we're going to play for you a recording we did with an old nemesis of ours. He's currently incarcerated in a special research facility where the scientist there is studying him and trying to restore him to his original state. You see, once upon a time, this feller was a regular, everyday thug named Ted DuBois. We called him Dirty Ted. Somehow, though, he got himself mutated into a giant catfish, which kind of put him in a bad mood, and he started terrorizing folks in town. Obviously, we couldn't have that, so CB and I set to capture him and put things to rights. Turned out to be a little harder than we expected, but eventually we got him to this lab where he could be contained and hopefully get some help. A few months back, his name popped up during another investigation, and we thought he might have some answers we was looking for. So we arranged a visit. Took him some snacks and crawdads and such and asked him some questions. Now, he might be a little hard to understand if you ain't used to talking to someone who's underwater and behind 6 inches of plexiglass. To make it a little easier, we enlisted the aid of one of the lab technicians there who'd been communicating with him the most. So, without further ado, here go our interview with the catfish. If you'll just talk into the mic here.
Like this?
Perfect. All right. Why don't you state your name for posterity and tell us what you do here at the Guthrie Institute for Underwater Critter Learning.
Well, yes. My name is Dr. Susan Cotter-Main, and I am the lead researcher here in the area of marine biology.
Terrific. And you've been working with our boy over here for how long?
About 6 months. Actually, it's been exactly 5 months, 21 days, and 14 hours since Theodore was brought to us.
Theodore? Is that your real name, Ted? Well, I guess it would be. Well, thank you, Dr. Sue, for helping us out here.
My pleasure.
What sort of things you been learning from old Scaly Butt here?
Actually, catfish have no scales, though some species are known to have bony armored plates called scutes.
I knew that. Just like to give him a hard time. Ted and me go way back.
It might be best if you didn't attempt to antagonize the subject.
Okay. Whatever you say, Doc. So, what have you learned from studying the subject?
Many things, actually. Theodore's a very agreeable patient.
Really? I didn't find him to be very agreeable at all. Can you give us some examples?
Certainly. His skin, while naked, is covered in a fine mucous membrane, which aids in cutaneous respiration, or breathing through said skin. We think this is also what allows him to travel on land for short periods of time. We keep him in this tank for his own comfort.
And for your own safety, too, I assume.
Yes, of course.
What else have you learned?
Well, for instance, you see the spiny ray jutting from his dorsal fin?
Yeah, the one on top.
Precisely. This spine can become erect and eject a venomous protein that has proven to be very strong indeed. More potent than a rattlesnake bite.
Eesh. Good thing he didn't know about that before. Things might have gone a mite differently. But these attributes are pretty common among most catfish, am I right? Is there anything particularly special about Ted's condition that sets him apart?
Yes, his sheer size, for one thing. Although some species, like Bagarius yareli in India, or the Mekong catfish in Thailand, have weighed in at over 600 pounds, Theodore outweighs them all at a whopping 950 pounds. Another thing is the fact that he does indeed exhibit traits from several different species.
Like what else?
Well, I think you might remember this one. He is able to produce an electric shock that is quite stunning.
Hoo-wee, do I ever. I recollect that Cowboy took the brunt of that shock, but I was twitching for days after.
That was unpleasant.
In addition to that, he has 5 pairs of barbells or whiskers and extensive chemoreceptors along his body. These added organs, along with his Weberian apparatus, give him extensively keen senses.
So now you're telling me he's sensitive?
Extremely. I haven't even told you about his singing voice yet.
Go figure. I guess your mutation might have been for the better, Ted. Wait. Did you say singing voice?
Oh, yes. Catfish are very vocal and can produce a variety of sounds, due in part to the sonic muscles in their swim bladder.
So can we expect a hit single in the near future?
We have some recordings that I've submitted to a few record labels, but it's an extremely competitive industry.
I was joking.
Oh, I wasn't.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can take a listen to that later. Or never. Moving on, have you made any progress with getting him back to the way he was? A normal, slimy, whiskered, bipedal bottom feeder of the ugly human sort?
It's been quite difficult, actually. His human cells have merged with the catfish cells to become hybrids. Obviously, that doesn't happen naturally. So there must be some sort of foreign contaminant that has spliced itself into his DNA that allows for this sort of mutation. We just haven't been able to identify it yet.
Huh. Could it be alien in origin?
Ha! Mr. Mullet, we here at the Guthrie Institute for Underwater Critter Learning deal in science fact, not science fiction.
I'm just saying, we're looking at a beastly abomination of nature here, the likes of which ain't never been seen before. It ain't out of the question.
Even for someone as open-minded as myself, I find it hard to even entertain such a far-fetched theory.
Well, the world ain't always easy to explain. It don't take a scientist to figure that out. I've seen plenty of things that I can't even begin to explain.
Mr. Mullet, I assure you that we are exploring every possible earthly explanation for Theodore's condition. We have all the best cutting-edge technology at our disposal, and the greatest minds Appalachia has to offer. We will find a cure.
Well, for your sake, I hope so.
For my sake? I don't take your meaning.
You're obviously in love with the big galoot. You can't very well marry a giant mutant catfish, so you better hope you can take him back to normal. Though, I ain't sure you're gonna like what you wind up with.
I'm sure I don't know what you mean. In love? With him? Absurd.
Okay, don't go getting your lab coat all in a bunch. I've been known to be wrong before.
I should say so. The very thought. I am a dignified woman. Preposterous.
Like I said, I ain't no expert. Just making an observation. You two seem fond of each other.
Theodore, Mr. Dubois and I maintain a strictly professional working relationship. Isn't that right? It would be ridiculous for anyone to assume otherwise. I take considerable offense at the accusation.
Geez, settle down. Guess I touched a nerve there. You got this one wrapped tight, ain't you, Ted?
If you gentlemen will excuse me, I need a moment to compose myself.
Sure thing, Doc. When you come back, we'll get down to the business of why we're here. Don't go nowhere, Ted.
Hello, friends. It's my privilege to talk to you today about a very special set of books by a very special author. Chaplain Daniel Aaron Harris is a writer and speaker living in Memphis, Tennessee. His books, written for children but relevant to all, are published under the banner of Bobby Blue, the main character in the majority of his stories. Bobby has cerebral palsy, a disability which his author shares, but which doesn't hold either of them back. Walk and learn with Bobby and Daniel both as they teach important lessons about life and living in community, not just with the disabled, but with everyone. Visit BobbyBlueBooks.com for more info.
All right, everything taken care of? Didn't mean to get you all hot and bothered there, Dr. Q.
Who, me? Not at all. Just needed to adjust the thermostat.
Of course. You comfy in there, Ted? Yeah, don't care.
If you don't mind, we're quite busy here. May we proceed with the purpose of your visit?
Absolutely. Sorry to hold you up. I'm sure y'all got lots of important singing and swimming to do. As I mentioned before, CB and I is on this one particular case, and it just so happens that Ted's name came up a time or two. We thought there might be a chance he could be of help to the investigation. What do you say, Ted? Oh, maybe the satisfaction of doing the right thing, not obstructing justice, proving that there's an ounce of humanity left in that hideous exterior of yours.
I'm sure Theodore will cooperate if he is able. What is the crux of the case?
So here's the rundown. We was looking into a new meth operation that settled itself on our turf. Real sophisticated, not like the local yokels we normally see. We couldn't pin them down because they got a real good cover. Smooth operators. Effective distribution. Pros, you know what I'm saying? Yep. We hit up all our usual sources, but nobody seems to know much. Then one night we corners this low-level dealer named Donnie. You remember Donnie, don't you? Yeah, he sends his regards. Anyway, he finally coughs up a name. A name I ain't heard for a while. A name I need not mention, because he's another mutual acquaintance of ours that we'd both like to forget. Of course, you and I both know that he ain't in the game no more due to classified circumstances, but it got me to thinking, where did our mutual acquaintance learn to run the business he did? The business you was a part of, remember? That's what I thought you'd say. Seems like we've been here before. You still a little scared of him, huh? Scared of a ghost? Yeah, maybe, but he ain't within 100 miles of here, so what ain't you telling me? Let's just say I'm looking for confirmation. Or fall out of the sky. But you know, I looked at his file. He didn't have no family. Who was close to him? Now you're speaking in riddles? Talk plain, dude. Was I working for someone else? For crying out loud, just answer the question. So what? We already knew we was looking for... Holy mess. Unfortunately, I think I am.
I'm not. Who is it?
Not a who. A what?
A what? Oh, no. Not another one.
Afraid so. A new alpha.
He can't be worse than that other guy.
Come on. Worse than him? An alpha female? Now you're just yanking our chain. I ain't got time for this.
And what's so unbelievable about that?
No offense, Susie Q, but you don't even know what we're talking about. I'm all for women's lib and such, but this ain't the same thing.
You're speaking of werewolves. Theodore told me the whole story.
Did you get clearance for that? The feds was pretty specific.
Your secret is safe with me.
Yeah, well, lover boy there might just have put you in a whole world of danger. The fewer people that know, the better.
I resent your implications.
Well, you wouldn't be the first. Y'all might as well come out and say it. Better to have fished and lost than never to have fished at all.
I never... This is highly irregular. You, sir, are out of line. I don't have to stand for this. I am going to call for security to escort you out.
You sure you know what you're doing with that one, Ted? She seems to be in denial. And I don't mean the river in Egypt. Well, hey, don't sweat it. There's plenty of other... never mind. So you think this lady wolf is running the new operation? Yeah, me too. And you think she's dangerous? Well, look at you. You've been reading and everything. Maybe that doc will make a decent human being out of you yet.
Theodore, don't say another word.
All right, we're packing up. No need to get...
You stay. I want everyone to hear this.
Hey, listen, we was just having some fun. Had I known...
I've been lying to myself for far too long.
Oh.
It's time I expressed my true feelings. No, Theodore. I love you. I always have. I always knew that someday, someone unexpected would come through those doors and take me completely by surprise. From the moment I saw you, I knew that you were the one. The one to whom I would give my heart. The one who would sweep me off my feet and carry me away to his castle in the clouds.
Or under the sea.
Let me finish. I swear to you, I've made it my life's mission to return you to your human state. Whatever it takes. No matter the cost. No price is too high. No glass too thick. No chromosomal abomination can keep us apart.
Touching.
Then don't. There's no one else for me. And if all else fails, I make this vow. That I will inject myself with your infected blood. Bathe my body in radioactive microwaves. And join you in your aquarium where we will make sweet, passionate...
Okay, I think we get the idea, Juliet.
Most certainly.
Well, this has taken an unexpected turn. Hey, wait, what are you doing? I wouldn't do that. That water don't look very clean. Hold your breath. No, ma'am. Maybe we ought to give them some privacy. Nothing more to see here. Eesh. Well, we got what we needed and a whole lot we didn't. Gonna be on the lookout for a she-wolf of the were variety. Not looking forward to that confrontation, I tell you. In the meantime, I hope y'all join us next time when we interview more unsung heroes and unrepentant villains on the Red Mullet Podcast.
This has been a Monumental Flounder production, written and produced by Andrew Chandler. Red Mullet, Cowboy, and the Catfish, created by Jay Choop. Special thanks today to Daniel Harris and Stacy Cotham. For more Red Mullet content, go to andrewchandler.net.